Bucks Uncensored is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, home of the 2019 Bucks Uncensored Draft Party. This year will be bigger and better than ever before, with multiple outdoor bars and beer tubs and the ability to use your credit card outside this year. So you won't be waiting for a drink long this time, and we will have the big screen outside. A full Buffalo Wild Wings buffet, all you can eat all night long. It's all coming to you at Buffalo Wild Wings, April 25th and 26th for the NFL Draft. Buffalo Wild Wings, the place to watch Lightning hockey as they surge for the Stanley Cup this year. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. Bucks Uncensored is also brought to you by Mastro Subaru. Love these guys, man. Two locations, one in Orlando, one in Tampa off of Hillsborough Avenue, right next to the Veterans Expressway. They've got a full selection of new Subarus and pre-owned vehicles. So no matter what the car you're looking for, you need to go buy Mastro Subaru, because if you're listening to this podcast, you're a Bucks fan. You're a member of the Bucks mob, okay? It's a family of Bucks fans that have come together. Well, Pete and Steve at Mastro Subaru, they're like founding members of the Bucks mob, original stick carriers, and they want to give you a discount on a new or pre-owned vehicle just for being a mob member as well. So go buy Mastro Subaru, tell them you're a member of the Bucks mob, and you get a discount off your new or pre-owned vehicle just for being a Bucks fan. Mastro Subaru, check out their full selection at MastroSubaru.com. I'm about to kick somebody's ass. Okay, so here's the deal. I lost track. Okay, there's a lot going on this week. All right, I'm going to see Hamilton Wednesday night at the Straz Center. No idea what to expect with that. Okay, tomorrow night, you'd think big night for Miss Holly O'Connor and I. Valentine's Day. But tonight, Wednesday night, is going to be our Valentine's Day. Nice dinner, nice play, be a great time. Thursday night, I got a date with my daughter for Valentine's Day, taking her out to dinner, so I'm excited about that. Holly's got her huge Valentine's Day party at Franklin Manor, the blown-off ball. Everyone's invited. It's free for everyone to show up. Really cool event. They give you a color wristband, depending on if you're single, in a relationship, or who knows, maybe you're in a relationship but looking for a third member to join your party. Then you get like a yellow wristband as well. So it's a lot of fun, Franklin Manor, Friday night. So, you know, I'm like, there's just a lot going on this week. And I thought, man, Tuesday night, I don't have anything tonight. I'm going to relax and get a little fucked up. I did, and completely forgot about the podcast. The good news is, every morning I get up from our home in St. Pete, and I get to drive all the way to New Tampa to where I work. So I got an hour drive. Guess what that means? That means you and I get to spend my ride to work together talking about the Bucks. Now, I don't know how long this will go, and obviously there'll be no Bucks takes. But one thing, I started to see this yesterday. First off, Kareem Hunt signed by the Browns. Already conspiracy theories out there that John Dorsey was the one that released the video, and because he really wanted Hunt. Remember, John Dorsey also has a tie to Andy Reid. So I don't get upset when the Bucks just don't sign players. I do question when players get traded for not a lot. Wonder if the Bucks are involved in those kind of discussions. But, you know, if the Bucks were interested or not, the Bucks might have offered the same thing. I can't get upset about that. I will say this. God, there are so many things that are grinding my gears. I just watched The Family Guy where he talks about that. But, Let's set the record straight. The Bucks need a fucking running back. Okay? Yeah, I mean, I'm anxious to see what Ronald Jones can do in an offense maybe that suits him a little bit better, or at least with a coach that's going to give him a shot, or maybe, just maybe, he can get a handoff without getting hit 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage. I will repeat a statistic Greg Allman threw out during the season. It was probably about three quarters of the way through. Ronald Jones had 42 yards on the ground. 42 yards! Like half to three quarters of the season. 44 yards after contact. Start doing the math. The light bulb will go off and you'll be like, oh shit. Every time the guy touched the ball, he was hitting the backfield. It was almost comical at times. So yeah, the Bucs need a running back. Is it Tevin Coleman? Is it somebody in the draft? I don't know, but I'm not going into next season with two running backs, and Jaquizz Rodgers ain't going to be here. Please, he cannot be here. But here's my thing. We tend to overvalue players in this town, and I get it. I hear it all the time. How do you expect to get better when you're getting rid of our best players? Well, I mean, the best players have been here, and they haven't won. Now, that's not saying that the best players can't be part of the solution. Probably going to be a big part of the solution. But there's different players on this roster, and it's the same people bitching about cap space that are bitching about trying to keep these guys and overpay these players. And in particular, I'm focused mainly on Quan Alexander. We'll talk about some of the other players. But Jenna Lane, and I like her a lot. I think she's a really good reporter. And maybe somebody floated this out to her. Maybe an agent. Because the agents talk a lot this time of year. And I'm wondering who Quan's agent is. Is it Drew Rosenhaus? I don't know. I haven't done that research. But could very well be. Jenna Lane went on kind of a little soapbox yesterday on Twitter saying that Quan Alexander shouldn't see any hit to his market based on the ACL injury that he had this year. And that Quan, and I'm paraphrasing, and that the Buccaneers might be willing to go as high as $10 million a year, but some other teams might be willing to pay him a little bit more than that. All right, first off, what have I told you? What did I tell you when the Bucs were going through their coaching hire? I said, please, 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 trust, make sure you know and trust the person giving you the information, and that you have faith that they are trusting and knowing who they're talking to. So, again, who would Jenna Lane be getting that type of information from? The Bucs, who are trying to not pay as much for a player, or from the player's side, which in terms is the agent? It's the fucking agent! And of course the agent is going to say 10. Quan Alexander is not worth $10 million a year. I don't give a flying fuck what any other middle linebacker in the NFL is making. Quan Alexander has zero All-Pros, one Pro Bowl, and has missed at least four games in three of the four seasons he has played. Four games due to injury, including an ACL tear last year. Yes, modern medicine is a miracle. And yes, he's likely to come back and be 100% like he didn't miss a beat. But am I supposed to take that kind of risk on an undersized middle linebacker who prides himself with his speed? Sorry, I have a tough time fully embracing an undersized linebacker who has consistently gotten engulfed by offensive linemen as consistently as he makes splash plays. So he makes splash plays a lot. And he gets engulfed by linemen a lot. He's small. He's undersized. His strength is his speed. He tears his ACL. I don't give a fuck when he did it last year. He tore his ACL. But he's squatting. And he's posting all these videos on YouTube. It's making me masturbate. Who gives a fuck? I am so tired of these. I'm not even tired of the players doing. I'm tired of the fans overreacting to shirtless pictures and videos of guys working out. Show me. Why don't you show me videos of you making fucking plays consistently in winning games for this fucking team? And this is not me bashing Quan Alexander. I like Quan Alexander. And I think he has a spot on the roster. But not at $10 million a year. And if another team wants to pay him more than $10 million a year, bye. It's a business. It is a fucking business. And I'm staring at a linebacker in Devin White, who's bigger, probably stronger, and maybe faster than Quan Alexander. And Todd Bowles drafted a guy very similar to that when they drafted the guy to Temple a few years ago. Linebacker that can fly around and attack. So let's get back to Quan Alexander. What am I willing to pay him? Before the injury, I think I even said it on my podcast. I think $7 million a year for a middle linebacker who's made one Pro Bowl, who's made zero All-Pros, who has only played one full season of games, once out of four seasons, yeah, $7 million is enough. I can't go to 10. I need a guy who's going to be consistently out there. Now, has he been injured because he's undersized? Possibly. I mean, we see all the videos. He's working out. It's not a lack of heart or determination or work ethic. Maybe he's undersized. I don't know. But I would have given him $7 million a year, probably a three-year contract. Because he's still extremely young. And then you can give him the big one after that. ACL injury, 1 year, $5 million with incentives. That could probably get him to 7 or 8. I'm okay with that. I love incentive contracts. I love working in an incentive-based business because I expect myself to produce the results. And there's something about Quan Alexander. I think he feels the exact same way. I'd be disappointed if Quan Alexander felt disrespected at a one-year offer with a guy coming off an ACL. And by the way, Jenna Lane, of course it's going to affect him. Undersized middle linebacker whose game is predicated on speed. Of course it's going to. I think a one-year deal, $5 million with incentives, is a good deal for the Bucks. It's a good deal for Quan Alexander. He can come back, show him, and then he can get the big contract next year. And maybe next year they make a big decision on Lavonte David. I don't know. But to think that this team, this year, would give Quan Alexander $10 million when Lavonte David's making $10 million and you're going to run a 3-4 defense? Does it make sense? Does it make financial sense, salary cap sense, to invest $20 million into the middle linebacker position? $20 million. Yes, there are linebackers across the NFL that are making $10 million a year. There are. And Lavonte David is making 9.7. That's a tough pill to swallow when you're putting that much money into the middle linebacker spot. And I'll say it, I really like Quan Alexander's attitude, but I have more excitement about the potential, if he can come back healthy, of Kendall Beckwith on the field. Bigger, stouter, stronger, instinctive. I loved watching Kendall Beckwith play. Loved it. He's dealt with injuries. Quan Alexander's dealt with injuries. All right. I just had Siri give me a little update on my route in my ears. Not sure if you can hear that or not, but I am parting ways with Siri right now because I know how to get to work. That's the fact. So, in the end, yeah, I would offer Kwon Alexander a one-year deal. Give him an opportunity to prove himself, not only prove himself that he can come back from an injury, he's never played in this defense. Never played in this defense. And I'm not sure how, I don't know. I don't know if he's the type of linebacker that Todd Bowles wants or not. It's going to be a 3-4 attacking gap style defense, which could suit Kwon Alexander well. But, I mean, we've seen him get engulfed by bigger offensive linemen. It happens to the smaller linebackers. But 3-4 linebackers tend to be a little bit bigger. And I know the first thing we all thought was Levante and Kwon in the middle. That's interesting. Here's how I view it. Kwon Alexander, if you can get him on a one-year, $5 million deal, and Levante for this year, Levante's, I think, 30 or 31 already, so maybe that's the decision you make the next offseason. There's $10 million. And then Kwon Alexander can get his big contract, and now you get Kwon and Kendall Beckwith in the middle for an extended period of time. Yeah, there's decisions to be made, but sometimes you got to make tough decisions. You don't just give a guy a blank check, especially a guy who hasn't really proven much on the big stage of the NFL. Stop thinking just locally and start thinking on the grand stage, on the 32 teams. Well, the Bucs haven't been winning. That's why Kwon hasn't been in the spotlight. No, that's not the case anymore. NFL play, they all see each other's games. Okay, he's been inconsistent. And he hasn't been a dominant player. He's made splash plays. He's a guy I want on the team. He's a guy I think will continue to get better. But he's not a dominant force. He hasn't played at an all-pro level. Not consistently. Not this early in his career. And again, he's only played a full 16 games one time in four seasons. The other guy's been Gerald McCoy. You know, Gerald McCoy, you've got to balance how much a guy is making versus what his production is and what it's going to be. What it has been, slightly, but where you project it to be over the next few years. Gerald McCoy is not worth over $13 million the next few years. Because at any point, it's gone. It's gone. And just like Kwon Alexander's strength is his speed, if Kwon Alexander loses his speed, he is probably a below average linebacker. That's what his game is, all on his speed. He's not going to beat anyone with his strength or his size or even his instincts, because his angles are off sometimes. Levante David can beat people with his instincts, even if he loses his speed. Kwon Alexander, I'm not so sure. Gerald McCoy, quickness. First step, right? When that starts to slow down, and it's going to, Gerald McCoy doesn't beat anyone with strength or technique. He doesn't beat anyone with his size. He beats him with his quickness. His first step. The first thing to go is your first step. This is why I'm hesitant to invest that much money into these players. Even renegotiating a Gerald McCoy type contract, you know, first thing you got to worry about is how much guaranteed money is he going to get? Is he going to get 13? The 13 that he's going to make this year spread out over 2 years? Okay. And then maybe some incentives or something to build up the base of the contract and maybe do a 3-year deal, $13 million guaranteed, and maybe it's a $30 million contract. And then after next year, or maybe it's $20 million contract over 3 years. $7 million a year. I don't know. I don't know what McCoy would be willing to do. I don't want to go more than 3 years. And this is me being honest. Like, if they can get him to a better price point, and he's going to be a role player in an attacking gap-style 3-4 defense, yeah, I think Gerald McCoy could be good in that defense. But I also think that he can be replaced in this style of defense. Can Gerald McCoy make that transition from being the under tackle in a 4-3 defense his entire career to being an end in a 3-4? Whether it's one gap, two gap, scout, attacking, I don't know. Can he make that transition? I've got to ask myself that question. And maybe that's why Bruce Arians and others have not been committal to Gerald McCoy. Because you got, can he make the transition? And if he makes the transition, what type of player is he going to be? Is he going to be an impact player? Is he going to be a player that teams continue to game plan for? Was he being game plan for because of where he was lining up in a 4-3 defense, shooting the gap? Is he going to have that opportunity? Or is he going to be lined up head up on a tackle? You know, different ways to align. And with that being said, is he going to play at a $13 million level? Is he going to play at a $10 million level? Honestly, it's probably going to be a $7 or $8 million level, which is going to decline year after year after that. Now you ask I'm throwing a lot of scenarios at you, but these are all questions you got to ask yourself about any player, but in particular, Gerald McCoy is, okay, what's the price point? And then do we feel $7 or $8 million invested in McCoy over the next 2 or 3 years is a better investment than taking that money, maybe investing it in another player position, and seeing that we're fifth in the draft, being able to draft a Quinnen Williams if he's there, and Ed Oliver if he's there, a Josh Allen if he's there, and continuing to boost up my defensive line. Tons of options. And again, then you get that player with the fifth pick. Well, now that player, from what I've seen, it looks like the fifth pick is going to get like $30 million over 4 years with, what, $20 million guaranteed or something. So about a little less than $8 million a year, $7 million a year. Okay, that's good. If I can't give him $7 million, and then McCoy $7 million or $8 million, and then Vita Vea is going to get, you know, his is going to continue to go up. And Jason Pierre-Paul has his big cut. I need to sign Nassib. He's going to need a new deal soon, and he's young. Now I'm starting to question maybe we do move on from McCoy. We draft his replacement because that is the strength of this draft. Okay? Maybe it's not Devin White. Maybe they go defensive line. Different options, right? Move on. Now you have that money to where you can go and get, and they're going to need some extra money. Right now they got $7 million, what they just got $7 or $8 from Benny Curry. We expect $11 from DeSean Jackson at least. I think you look at Will Golston, you could look at Bo Allen, you could look at a few of these other players. But tell me you wouldn't want another $13 with McCoy? Yeah, you could save $5 if you can renegotiate him down to $8. But $13? You know, if you're looking at a Tyrann Mathieu, if you're looking at a Tevin Coleman, if you're looking at a Morris Claiborne, we're trying to trade for a Patrick Peterson, getting a veteran. I want a veteran corner and a veteran safety. It's going to cost some money. You know, they need to introduce some leadership to this defense in particular. You know, they went out and got Pierre-Paul. That's why I hope Jason Light has been on the phone with Steve Keim asking, and what will it take to get Patrick Peterson? I'm not giving up my first round pick, and I'm hesitant to give up my second round pick unless I can get something back in return with Patrick Peterson in terms of draft. Maybe our high second for Patrick Peterson and their third round pick. And then the Cardinals have 2 second round picks right at the top of the second round. I don't know. I mean, that's a focus of mine. But there are a lot of players out there in free agency, and the Bucs do have some needs on both sides of the ball to address. I just wanted to share just a couple of those things. You know, when we talk about whether or not to keep a player, you have to balance the player, what the player's done production-wise, where the player is at physically. It could be age, it could be injury status, it could be a multitude of things. And then you have to take into account what price point you're willing to pay for that. And if the player's a free agent, then you're starting at zero. If the player's already under contract, Gerald McCoy, is 13 good for him? If 13 is good for him, you don't have to do anything. You're done. You leave him as is with his current contract. Is 10, is 8, and you start to come down. Now, you balance out. Would he accept that? Would we want to invest $8 million in a 30-year-old Gerald McCoy when we could invest a high draft pick in a 23-year-old defensive lineman that can grow in our new defense, and then, along with that, take that money that we saved on McCoy and put it into a veteran at another position that can come in and make an impact. Very intrigued to see what they do on defense. And I think it's no surprise that I just talked about Quan Alexander. I also mentioned Lavonte David, Gerald McCoy. Defense, there's going to be some turnover on defense. Todd Bowles and Bruce Arians aren't going to come in to one of the worst defensive teams over the last 5 years. And the Buffs have been just that. I mean, awful. Coaching, players, it doesn't matter. Okay? The stats speak for themselves. And I get it. Stats are for losers. Well, these stats that the Buffs defense have put up over the last 5 years, it's the reason they've been losers. Okay? You think Todd Bowles and Bruce Arians are coming in going, yep, we're good. All these players, we're going to come in and sprinkle some fucking pixie dust on these motherfuckers, and their assholes are going to pucker up, and they're going to go out there, and they're going to fucking just fly around like fucking Tinkerbell. It's going to be amazing. No. Not at all. They're going to look to some players that they've had in the past. And it doesn't just have to be players that are on the Cardinals or with them with the Cardinals or the Jets. Bruce Arians has been around a long, long time. Okay? So is Todd Bowles. They're going to go out, they're going to target players that they feel can bring, I don't think just the ability to play and understand the defense, but I think the ability to lead and further help clean up this locker room. Sorry for this awkward addition. I mean, there's not even any freaking music. It's just me talking. No Bucks takes or nothing. This is very pompous of me. It's all me, all the time. Bucks Uncensored. Follow me online, by the way. Commish Online. Social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Commish Online. Join us on the Facebook page. We are a family. We're open to everyone that is a Bucks fan. You do have to send a request to join the page. Here's what I do. I'm the only one that accepts people. Anyone that sends in a request to join the Facebook page, I click on their profile and I search for something Bucks related, especially if they're in another state, and especially if they have no friends in common in the group, and no groups in common. If you're not with a Bucks group in another Bucks Facebook page, if you have no other Bucks friends, and you're in another state, and you have nothing Bucks related on your Facebook page, you're not getting in. Because the likelihood that you're just coming in to talk shit and create chaos, we're not putting up with that shit. Okay, we're a family. We keep the fucking assholes out of our family. We're going to rally together. We're going to grow in numbers. We're going to throw a kick-ass fucking draft party where thousands of people are going to show up. We're going to rock this area. Then we're going to show Bruce Arians and this entire fucking coaching staff what they have behind them. And that is a riled up fucking fan base that is desperate for a winner and has been for 15 plus years. They are going to be introduced to the mob at our training camp takeover. It is going to be electric. It's going to be exciting. And I feel for the first time in a very long time that the team is going to meet our fan base halfway in the middle. And when that happens, it is going to be an explosion like you've never seen before. We will take back Ray J. We will turn it into a true home field advantage. We're going to kick some fucking ass on the field. And we're going to kick more ass in the stands and on social media. Because we will defend our team. We will defend our family. Thank you to Buffalo Wild Wings for being a major sponsor, main sponsor of this podcast, hosting our draft party and several other parties that we will continue to tell you about as we get closer to the draft so that you have something to look forward to, and you're going to have a lot to look forward to throughout the summer up to the season as well. So thanks to them. Thanks to Master of Subaru. Those guys are fantastic. I'm going to see Christian at Headlines today to get my hair cut. So thanks to him. Love Headlines Barbershop. Download their app. Make your appointment on their app and check out all their locations as well. And thanks to all of you for not only continuing to listen, continuing to subscribe, never missing an episode, but spreading the word. It's not just about this podcast. It's about the mob. It's a mob mentality. It's getting fans together and just starting to build this base. You know what's ironic is we started to build this base with Dirk Cutter in his first year as a head coach. And we didn't know it then, but that brought us together and kind of built a nucleus. Just like the Bucks were trying to build a young nucleus on their team, we built ourselves a young nucleus. We were in our infant stages. We brought fans together that had never been together before. Some of my best friends today were people I didn't even know 2 years ago. That's what this movement has done. The movement has turned into a family. We are the Bucks mob. We have built the young nucleus to grow from. And as our team now adds pieces to grow and become more successful, we are going to continue to spread the word and build our fan base, our family, so that it is an unstoppable force, much like our team is on the field. It's up to you and me to continue to do that and spread the word and bring people together like it's never been done before. We got derailed a little bit, but we stayed together, we stayed strong, and now we are going to build something very, very impressive. So thank you to each and every one of you that have been part of this movement from the beginning. And I see it all the time, whether it's on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, or it's sending in Bucks takes, or it's going to joebucksfan.com. People are joining the movement every single day. Every day, we see new members of the mob who have never experienced what we've experienced before. These are new, just hearing about the mob for the first time. And the message I have to anyone that is listening to this podcast for the first time or hearing about the Bucks mob for the first time, I want to tell you one thing. Welcome to the fucking family. Nailed it. And thanks for putting up with me for over 30 minutes while I drive to work and talk some Buccaneer football with you. Have a great rest of your week. We'll be back on Monday. We're getting closer and closer to the NFL Combine.